Welcome to Coochie Conversations, where we give you the real on all things women's health, spirituality, and motherhood. Empowering women to have sovereignty over themselves, we shine light on the disparities that women face daily as divine feminine beings. So steep your favorite tea, roll up your favorite smoke blend, and tune into this week's episode of Coochie Conversations. Peace, y'all. It's your girl, Bianca Pittman, a.k.a. your Coochie Shiro. Back once again, giving you a fresh Coochie Conversations with my co-host, my beautiful co-host, Joanne. We all love me some Joanne, right, y'all?
Happy to see, you know, here we are, showing our panty.
First off, I want to apologize to you guys, and I know I don't have to, but y'all know I'm really trying to balance this mommyhood thing. And I've been wanting to, you know, record and give y'all new episodes, but it's just been so hard finding my footing in this new life. Like, I've realized that, like, and we could talk about it one day, like, being a mom is one thing, being an entrepreneur is one thing, but being a mompreneur is a whole different ball game.
Hi, girl, and welcome.
Right, okay.
Welcome to the chat.
Because I was not aware. You know,
welcome to the chat, and you be with me. We talk every day, and you see me do 10 things around my child, and there's no hood like motherhood. You gotta move in the hood to understand it.
No, it's true, and I live in the hood now.
You down the block?
I'm a hood booger for sure. Mm-hmm.
You down the block?
And you know, it's the best. I love being in the hood, mm-hmm. but. It's just finding my balance here. So, you know, I apologize. You know, we really do try to give y'all an episode every Wednesday, but I apologize. And I just want to get that out.
On behalf of the other mothers who listen, we all grace is due, you know.
Yes, you guys give me so much grace, but I just have to, you know, extend my apologies to you guys that I am working on giving y'all as many episodes as I possibly can. So today's episode is about, and you might hear Baby Seven smacking on his bottle on the back.
Featuring Siete.
Today's podcast episode is about wisdom and what is it?
Like the correlation between
the
age
correlation
and
between age and wisdom.
Yeah, and the navigation of it because it ain't all the same thing.
I realize age does not define maturity. We think that because we are a certain age that we know more or more wise or more mature than someone who's younger than us. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I believe in like reincarnation and stuff like that. I believe in people being here multiple times. And sometimes you can actually see like you've been here before, you know, it's old souls and new souls. Some people you talk to them and you can tell like, oh, this is your first experience. There's some people you talk to and you're like, oh, like, you're very wise. You've been here before. And then just growing up, you know, you grow up in a household where your family thinks or your parents think that because they're older than you, they know more or they, you know, they're more mature or they're more wise or you can't tell them nothing. Or when you, you know, challenge their suggestion or something, it's like, you're coming from a place of less than or mm-hmm. stay in a child's place because how dare you try to tell me some shit when I've been here. This ain't my first rodeo type shit. And it's like,
even the colloquialisms, Bianca, like people, like there's two colloquialisms that I use sometimes. I'm trying to get out of it. It sounds ageist, but like, oh, and you're still a little age or, oh, in my big age, you know, right. there's a divide there. And like, even in my big age, I'm still very much a rookie at a lot of things. Like I can talk you down and I can talk in circles and I can like be a provocative thought leader when it comes to some subject matter, certain subject matter. You see, that's how real it is, Bianca. Cause this is so personal. Ooh, I'm throwing my panty. Like on some certain subject matters, I can be a very provocative thought leader. I can be like very, you know, liberal and free thinking and I have a leg to stand on, but in certain aspects of my life, I'm still very much a rookie. And if for all sake of transparency, like I don't have much love experience. I have experience with love as far as the connection it brings, the community I've fostered, the lovely, you know, work ecosystem I've created. But romantic love, I don't have much experience. And it's been to my detriment because I would get in situations where in my big age, I'm expected to know certain things or I'm expected to show up in a certain capacity because I show up in different areas so strong. And it has been disappointment after disappointment. So I look forward to calling in a partner that has grace and patience for me.
Yeah, because, you know, they feel like we're in our 30s. We've been, you know, by this time, we've had our fair share of relationship experiences and things like that.
Yeah.
And I can attest too, like I've only had long-term relationships. Like I've never had, you know, those short dating. And I think that's the thing with Black women, especially, we're not really taught or it's not really accepted in our community that we date. Cause when we date, we're hoes. How dare we date three different guys at one time? You know what I mean?
Yeah, the other day, Brittany Renner was on a show with Shannon Sharp, and she's like, oh, I have 35 bodies. And he's like,
oh, I think I saw that.
And he sputtered up his juice. But then just today, Plies posted, like, you in your prime, 35 bodies ain't a lot. So I think it's about the spectrum, and I think it's about the perspective. No, I don't have 35 bodies. No, I haven't been 35 relationships. But the ones I've been in have kept me in a certain state of infancy.
Right. So she's had 35 bodies. She's well versed when it comes to a lot of things when it comes to relationships because she's had 35 different experiences, whether they were short term, long term,
or maybe she knows how to have sex a lot or knows how to please a man physically, but talking about deep connection, fortifying
and that doesn't
a bond.
Mean she's had 35 bonded connections. You could have 35 one night stands. You know what I mean? Like,
right. We don't know what that means.
But why? Okay, so she had 35 bodies as a woman. But when a man says he has 35 bodies, nobody's spitting up their fucking juice. Like,
no.
Because to you, when a man has 35 bodies to another man, oh, you a player. Oh, you get pussy or whatever. But
notches.
When a woman has 35 bodies, she a hoe.
She's experienced.
So for me, if I'm out here dating three or four different guys, it doesn't mean I'm having sex with three or four different guys. I'm just trying to get to know three or four different guys. Now,
you're experiencing three different people. Yeah.
Right. Because we are taught to put all our eggs in one basket. When all these other cultures, white women, whatever, they go on dates. They, you know, whether it's just for a meal or just entertainment or whatever, but they nobody's saying that they busting it wide open with their Aunt Rita every, you know, experience, but they're getting to know people and getting to know what they like and dislike. And when I first moved to LA, I was single. And that was one of my most profound experiences was just being single and getting to know me all over again. I was in a long-term relationship that wasn't really a relationship of much when I, you know, in hindsight, that's, you know, you was just with this person. But I wasn't fulfilled. And when I came out here and I was on my own and just in my own space, learning what I liked, it was a very liberating experience for me. I met one younger guy. It was my first kind of younger experience. I was just kind of doing a little bit of things that I've never really done before because I've been so sheltered in these long-term relationships all the time. So like, yeah, I had my first one-night stand when I came out here and we were chilling and stuff like that, but he was younger and I tried not to get caught up in his age because I don't think that age defies maturity, but I also do feel like people show their age in certain circumstances, even if they are seen as mature. And then that makes you.
Yeah, I know romantically there's been like starts and stops because I just don't have that wheelhouse of knowledge. I come from a family of two parents. My parents are still married. They're still very much together, but if I can be transparent, nothing of their dynamic is applicable to me in my 36 years because they come from a different culture, a different
time. It's more
time.
Traditional.
It's not even more traditional. It's just more, it's more Caribbean.
Traditional.
You know, it's heavy on the Caribbean aspect of we are together, blah, blah, blah. And I think that I've adopted that in my own personal dynamics where it's like, the role of a woman is these certain things. And it kept me in the box where I didn't explore the connection. I explored the compatibility. And the compatibility is not always, I've never shared an account with a man, you know, like I've never had that financial trust in a man. Mm-hmm. I've never had a man that I can depend on or rely on. I never had a man that I could ask for something and it'd be done because I'm so self-sufficient. And I come into each dynamic guarded. That's so immature.
When we are these energies, when we are these self-sufficient energies, and we come into these circumstances and these situations with this energy, because that's what we are we taken not less serious, but is it like, do we carry more of the weight because the man knows that we are this independent, self-sufficient person?
Absolutely. I read a quote one time that said, it was very provocative, and it haunts me. I think I mentioned this before on the lives, that hardworking women date low achieving men because we're used to hard work. And I feel like that's a state of immaturity too, right? Because like, and then these memes and posts of this girl's like, oh, when you're absent-minded around your man. I have never had the luxury of being absent-minded around a man because I am from Brooklyn. I'm a Brooklyn gangster. I'm clocking my six and tools. I'm somebody mother. I'm clocking my six and my tools. Like, I mind y'all business. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always hyper vigilant to where I've never had the freedom to just freely fall and explore the fall, or not fall. But
like, it's like everybody wants this soft life. I have no idea if it's a soft life, it's because I give it to myself. I don't know what it's like to just be able to depend and have this soft life. Even in this experience of motherhood, it's like I'm still, you know, trying to be present in this experience, but also knowing that like I still gotta wear many hats. Like, I don't have the luxury of just being able to be like, oh, I just had this beautiful baby and let me just sit and kick my feet up, like, you know, let me go on maternity leave, I don't have that luxury. Like,
yeah, even going back to my childhood, I had a mother who had that's just like as self-sufficient and determined and diligent in providing, to where I wasn't nurtured a certain way as a young girl child. I was taught to provision is security and go after that. So the certain things I would have learned, or certain things I could have matured into or leaned into, it was abandoned, it was scrapped. And in now I can look at it like, oh wow, I never was nurtured in that area, and I was taught how insignificant it was. So now that I get in these situations with men, it's like, yeah, I get niggas, but nothing fundamental has been established. I've been engaged, but I've never wanted to be married. Just like 5 seconds ago, I'm like, I can openly say I want to be married. I want a husband. I do not want a boyfriend. And I say I've said it before that I want a husband, but I mean what I say now. I need a husband. I don't want a boyfriend.
Right.
Like, I need an equal an equally invested partner. I need to be pushed toward my purpose. I need to be affirmed. I need to be loved with grace. I need to be babied and taught language that I've never learned. What I need is something I never had, and that is immaturity. But it takes maturity to recognize that.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, just the fact that you can recognize this is what's missing is what's important, you know. And that's how you get what's missing, because you recognize that it's missing. Like, we can be in these big ages and be in our ego about it and think that, you know, the only reason why these relationships aren't working is because of the counterpart, but it's also because of us, because we just aren't skilled in certain areas of the relationship. And, you know, it takes a lot of mirror work and reflection to see that, like, yeah, you know, I'm falling short in these areas because I'm literally don't know. I literally have not been taught. And, you know, like, yeah, we're always taught, especially, you know, in the Black culture, we watch our moms, a lot of us, not you, are single moms. And, you know, like, my mom hasn't been in a relationship in mad long, and she keeps just saying, like, hey, I don't need to be in a relationship. I'm good. I had, you know, this and that. And it's just like, you feel that way because you've never really been fulfilled. Like, and you know, I don't want the drama. I don't want this. But why does the relationship have to be all of those things? You know, like, what about the pros to the relationship, companionship, you know,
All those
experience.
things that are unknown, Bianca. You know what I mean? It's like it's like explaining colors to a blind person. We
Like
know
my
they
mom
exist.
had this 9-year relationship with this one guy. They were a beautiful couple. Leo, Aquarius, opposites attract type shit. And they would hang out spend a night at each other's house, you know, go on dates every week and all this stuff. And it was crazy because as soon as he opened his mouth, he called her a cunt one time, right? Now, my mom does not, nobody likes to be disrespected, obviously.
The C
My
word is very abrasive.
mom does not play with the C word at all, okay? He called her a cunt. She broke up with him that day. And I never seen my mom shed a tear for a guy for 9 years. And she was able to completely disconnect as if she never knew this person because he called her a cunt. And like completely disconnected as if he just didn't exist. And it's just like, wow. Like, not to say like you could have tried to salvage whatever, you know what I mean? Like you don't fuck with that word. You're entitled to how it makes you feel, whatever. But just the disconnect was just like profound to me. Like how you could just be on and off with your feelings like that. And I feel like
That was a trauma-based response for sure. And I walk into a lot of dynamics with men where I'm just like, I'm gonna hold my weight. Let's see what this nigga do. And you know what a privilege it would be to just walk into something and be like, I feel so safe that I don't have to show up in that capacity.
yep.
I think that's the experience that I lack. But like I said, these days that I've been thinking more about it, I've been thinking so much about commitment and the quality of the commitment that it requires me to, you know, flourish and bloom. And you know, the all the components of the friendships that I have that are just so rich and valuable. And it's just is it, it I just know I have to show up in a different way to materialize it. And it's just a challenge to even wrestle with that concept. So it's gonna be a very interesting season this year. My best friend and I were talking the other day, and we had we're not like, oh, we're not giving up, but we both agreed that we think we're gonna start dating, like seriously dating, like and pursuing like love and marriage after our girls are 18. Her daughter is turning 18 in February. I have 2.5 more years. So and we it wasn't even like we came up with like a pregnancy pack. It was a conversation where she's like, you know, I don't even have the freedom to date. You know, my daughter has these activities, you know, in the afternoons. Like she's so malleable in this season. She's very fragile, you know, with the environmental changes, and she just wants to be present. And the fact that it was even a consideration that we put aside or starve ourselves of that romantic flourishment for the sake of showing up for a responsibility that should be split between the other parent, it's like, what a sacrifice. And in that conversation led me to just think a little bit more deeply and journal about like all the sacrifices I've made, but are they really sacrifices or is it something I put to the back because I don't want to deal with them? You know, it's like, yeah, it's a sacrifice on a specific level, but like fundamentally it's something I'm pushing aside. And it's like when you a child and you don't want to eat your peas and you push them to the side of the plate, it doesn't negate the fact that you need to eat them peas for your iron. It just means that you are making a choice that might be harmful later on. And I think that I have to just change my perspective on how I show up maturely in relationships and if I even have the capacity to pursue that right now. We're living in a crazy, crazy time.
right, and just being honest with yourself, like, do I have the capacity to even pursue that? Because, like, my best friend, like, she's in nursing school. Her parents are like 80 years old. Her son just went off to college. She has a 3-year-old who, you know, on the spectrum and stuff like that. And she works, and it's just like I don't even have the capacity to date. Like, I'm just spread so thin. And you know, love is something that we desire, but it's just like, is this my life right now where I have to kind of put this on the back burner until I get other things in order so I can be more present? Because it's like, that's what it boils down to. You don't want to have a relationship that you can't really be present in.
And
Like,
maintain. Ebony K. Williams, she's one of my favorite thought leaders. She's very provocative, and she was on she's on the Griot, so she does a correspondence for the Griot, and she was just evaluating women and the state of like the statistic on single women now, and she's like, if love is important to you and so is your career, then straight out of college you need to be pursuing both simultaneously in your youth while you have the vigor, because if you pursue one over the other, you're going to get to an age where you're going to be playing catch up, and then you're going to be in a different pool and you're going to be competing at a higher level later on. So her suggestion was for women to start dating right after college if they desire marriage and desire like career goals.
Because how come when it comes to black women, because I don't really see it in other cultures. I see other cultures be able to have a career in a relationship or a marriage simultaneously. But
depending on the traditions, because I know like there's some Middle Easterns that the women are more domesticated, the men are in the workforce. But I've seen the dynamic where they're both in the workforce and they both equally come together to take care of the home.
Right. Because why in the black community, it's like us women, we have to choose between if we want to have a career or if we want to have a relationship.
Or do you want to be a single mother?
Right.
Because I've been accused, you know.
A lot of six-figure earning women are not married.
Yeah.
Right, because what?
Because it warped my mind for so long. I almost talked myself out of desiring romantic love. Because I'm like, oh, this is the path that I've chosen. You know, his negativity has echoed and impacted me in a way where it almost stunted my growth in certain areas, to where even though I'm coming into this consciousness of where, wow, I do desire spousal connection, I had to kind of like work through the negative talk that I was receiving from people close to me. People in my bloodline don't see it from me in my romantic life. They just be like, yeah, you know, you a mother. I see you as a mother. Like, you know, right. And I know there's a wife in me, but I just...
That's all we came here to be is mothers. Like,
yeah. And I know I don't owe it to anybody. I don't owe it to Josephine, but I would love to offer her that experience of her mother being happily and healthily loved.
Mm-hmm. So she can see it. See that. Right. And she will.
I don't know, girl. I don't know. I don't see that for... I don't see it happening the way that I thought it would have happened, like the way I was like delusional.
But sometimes the things that we thought would happen, it ends up panning out better than we ever imagined. So,
you know, my prayer these days is to be hopeful and to want to, you know, because even the thought is just terrifying of like incorporating somebody into my life and into my daughter's life. And just having that level of trust and commitment. Like, it's tough. It's tough. Even now, I'm so non-committal. And I'm just so, like, I'm just, like I said, I'm just not seasoned in certain things in love. Like, I'll be making some rookie mistakes. Like, right now, I'm at a fucking stalemate with my nigga. Like, you know, like, I feel like if I call too much, I feel like Nikki Parker. But why can't I exhibit that desire? Like, why?
What's that was me. I, you know, I used to reach out, not get a response for 2-3 days. Oh, I'm working doubles. Oh, I'm working a triple. Oh, this. Oh, I'll call you back or whatever. Oh, I'm in a meeting. Oh, I'm with my kids.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I just felt like I was just never a priority. Whether it was your kids, your job, the gym, LeBron. Like, I was always put on the fucking back burner. And I'm like, this is not a relationship.
Oh, the last thing to do at night. No pun intended. Yeah. All those things you said really, really are hitting. But it's like...
But also, like I say, it's a no call, no show at work. You get fired. So why do you feel like you can go days without speaking to somebody that you say that you're with?
But also, how does it go to those days? How does it get to those days? Like, who's going to close the gap? Like, is it worth it enough to have that? This is what I mean. I'm very much a novice. Like, I'm very much, this is childish. It's childish. Why can't I, right? Is it going to be a paragraph? Why can't I establish that boundary? It makes me feel this way. Why do I feel
like I'm doing too much? Because I hit you up to see how you were doing, and then you didn't reach out to me, you didn't hit me back. But for me to hit you up again, it's like I'm doing too much because it's not a... even energy exchange.
And
like, I feel like I'm chasing, chasing, yeah. chasing. I'm doing 80 and you're doing 20.
I shouldn't feel like that. And I shouldn't approach it like this is too much, right? I shouldn't be in it, right? If this is happening, right? And if this is occurring, then I shouldn't even be in something that will bring me here. And that's something that you learn in maturity. That's something you learn on the journey. I'm still picking up romantic tools. I'm still learning the language of forgiveness.
Like a nigga saying good morning to you, and then you say good morning back, and then they don't respond for a day or two. And it's just like, what was the point of that? Just so you could say that you said good morning to me?
Yeah, in my last relationship.
It's like empty.
In my last relationship, he called it. I said I expressed a need. I was like, yeah, we were friends. Like, you know, we had a friendship and we had a relationship. And I made it a point to say, like, I love talking to you throughout the day. And because, you know, where he was, we know the situation. He would be like, well, I don't want to talk about unnecessary details throughout the day if I'm going to see you at the end of the day. And it wasn't like, it's not that I'm dumb or naive. It was like, okay, like, I guess that's just what he wants to do. But maturity teaches me that, no, it's important to me. That's a hill I'm willing to die on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's something I should be able to vocalize. And
okay,
if it's
but
not,
if I say it's important to me, then you should make this an importance because it's important to me. I don't care what you think about it. If you're going to see me at the end of the day or whatever. Wasn't there, we talked about it before, like that post from that guy, he was like, you know, one thing I feel like it would have saved my relationship is if I would have reached out throughout the day, or if she would have reached out to me more throughout the day when I was at work. She just kind of waited until I got home and stuff, and we, you know, we would converse, but I wanted to hear from her more throughout the day, and I think that would have extended the circumstance of my relationship. Now me and Ricky, he'd be at work and I wouldn't hit him up because it's like, oh, you're at work, like, mm-hmm. You know, you're busy, mm-hmm. And he told me, like, no, I want to hear from you throughout the day. But in my past relationship, he didn't have the desire to really have to hear from me throughout the day. Like, he wasn't calling me at work, all that stuff. So I kind of, like, you know, some things kind of carry into your next relationship.
Yeah, it's still something to work on. Like, even the other day, I was, wow, this is personal. Like, we were having a conversation about needs and, like, requirements per se. Like, mm-hmm. Not even requirements, expectations, you know what I'm saying? And for me, it was like swimming in the water, and the water was touching my nose. Like, it was such a challenge because I never had to I never had to speak up for myself in a dynamic like that before. I've always dated men who take the lead, and I just show up, and I don't have to think for myself. I don't have to do anything. They pay for things, they take me places, and they, you know, then that's it. And that's a relationship because we grown. That's what grown niggas do, right? But I wasn't being met deeply. So to have that conversation and still end up in no contact is so crazy. And maturity is teaching me, leave.
Yeah, because it's like, if I'm sitting here telling you what my needs are, we come to, you know, a conclusion that this is your needs, this is my needs, and then you totally disregard my needs the next day.
And what I'm saying,
it's a slap in the face.
What I'm saying is not to compare anybody. This is not for the girls who've been having their foot down since they were 15 years old, and their first boyfriend was every man they wanted to be. That's not it. That's not it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I went from fiance to fiance, baby, and it's like, and this is the lack of maturity in it is like I said, I've been engaged more times than I've been in relationships. Does that make sense?
No.
It don't. They don't, because because the age was the spectrum. Like, oh, at this age, if somebody said they want to be with you forever, you say yes, and then you figure it out. But it was never yes, and then we start building. It was yes, okay, I'm your girlfriend forever. I've never lived with a man.
Mm.
Like, no, like, how could I say?
This is my second time living with him.
Like, this, I've never lived with a man, so how could I commit to marrying a man that I don't live with? You know, it's just a maturity thing for me. You know, I had to kind of piece it together and just accept that my age is maturity in other ways. And in this room, I'm still growing. And just right. Submitting to that and making
peace with that. But, so, because we've acknowledged that we're, you know, more mature in other areas of our lives and our relationships, does that ever equate to not our circumstances but other people wanting to kind of date down in age because they don't feel like they are on that frequency in their own age bracket with their peers?
Absolutely. I believe that people, you can only meet people as deeply as you meet yourself. So for the individuals that date outside of their age range, they're seeking something. So if it's younger, they're seeking that youthful effervescence. If it's older, they're seeking that covering or that maturity. And they think in by proxy, they're going to like balance it out. Like, you know what I mean? I have a very youthful energy. I'm very spry. You know, I'm very like vibrant. I cannot date no young nigga. I'm not dating Soulja Boy. I'm not. That's not a balance for me. But for some people to stay in that zone of playfulness, and they're going to date somebody like that because that's their zone. I mean, there's different tiers for it. It may not be playfulness. It may just be reckless abandon. You know, hood niggas do hood things, and hood niggas are fun, but it's like Coney Island fun, not like Disneyland fun. You know? So, like, you know, like, you may date down because that's adventurous. Like, I no longer have a taste for the taste I had before. Like, the type that I pursued, that I allowed to pursue me, they cannot even talk to me right now. And that's not because I'm here or here. It just means that I just evolved from that space. I cannot be in the quality of the relationships that I have been in the past. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve my higher self.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Because when I came out here, I started talking to a young boy for 5 minutes, and I started talking to an older man. And to me, he was just my friend. Like, I wasn't looking at him like that, because I'm not into older. When I say older, just use older. Not into older gentlemen anyway, but I will befriend anyone. I don't give a fuck. Especially if I feel like you're older, you're wise. Like, I just like being around older energy. I didn't look at him in a sexual relationship type of way, but he clearly looked at me like that, in that way.
It was,
but what
wisdom.
I realized is that when he didn't get his way, he turned into like a baby. And I was just like, yo, age really does not define maturity. Like, because as soon as something doesn't go your way, you revert back. And you acting like a little ass kid. And it was just really a turnoff to me that I would be like, yo, why are you acting like a child? Like, I know you when you're like your 70s or something, 60s, 70s. Why are you acting like this?
Yeah.
And then it also, I had to ask myself, like, why is he gravitating to someone your age and your energy? And one time I met his son off of whim, like, it wasn't even planned. I just met his son was like 27 years old. So I asked him, I said, well, how do you think your son feels about you have like trying to date like younger, like women in his age range type shit? He was like, oh, he's had aunties before. He's had aunties before. Not you thinking I'm gonna be this nigga auntie. At some point. But it's just like, wow, like, but I don't know if my energy kind of made him feel young again. Like
that part. Right. Yeah. Or maybe sometimes, right, you date somebody younger so you could feel more your age or feel more mature than. But that's why they say comparison kills character, because you're competing with your partner in a certain lane. And it's what we're saying is what we're saying, right? And people are gonna hear it and it's gonna hit, but also it's like they're gonna have to think about it, because what we're saying is profound common sense. Like my ex was older than me. Girl, you know he was underdeveloped in a lot of, girl, I told you the other, you know my business. You like, you know, the stuff that we used to go through was chaotic. Like, he's still harassing me through, you know what I mean? Through his own mediums. Still, it's September. You know, like, that's, let it go. Let it go. So
yeah, and I cut his ass off real quick. One time, I didn't tell you. I cut him off when he said we would go out to eat. He buy me flowers. You know, he set a standard. He was a gentleman. He buy me flowers every week, go out to eat, open doors.
That is important.
Walk Kiko, all that stuff. Dude, just a very nice man. Sagittarius too, Team Sag. But the straw that broke the camel's back for me is one day we was out to eat, and like, you know, I'm very petrified of these big ass roaches out here in LA, right? He like looking under the table, and I'm like, what you looking at? Thinking that there's a roach or something under the table, because I'm just, that's where my mind goes. He's like,
you're ready.
He's like, oh, I'm looking for that cat you be steaming from time to time. I was like, oh, check please. It was time to fucking go. Okay. Because what? Yeah. And like, the ride home was quiet.
Oh. My God.
And you know what? I was taken back because he was a comedian back in the day. He was, and this is why I know his ass is old. I know his ass was old because he used to hang out with Richard Pryor.
Oh.
And when I say comedian, that was his, you know how Richard Pryor was like raunchy and shit like that?
The problematic that, funny.
Yes. So, like, as much as I wanted to laugh because it was fucking funny, but at the same time, you was totally serious and you looking for this cat that you, that I be steaming from time to time.
That polarized me.
Like, no.
I had to pick up my jaw. How? What?
I saw you. I saw your jaw was walking away on the floor. Like, and he was so serious.
Oh,
like,
my God. Looking under the table.
Yes. Check, please. Wrap Ooh. This shit up. We gotta
okay.
go.
Do you have any mature mama goals? What is our hopes from just doing this reflecting and doing this inventory of our age and our newfound standards and you just, you know, finding your groove in things and you just venturing into this new lane of mommyhood and me just not deciding I'm going to be a wife. Like, what are two things? What are two? I just graduated because, you know, come on.
No, you did just graduate. I give you that. I give you that because I ain't never heard about you wanting to be a girlfriend other than as a wife. So,
you know, here we are.
I would say, bless you, Seven. I would say my new mommy goals. So, you know, we did our postpartum body podcast in our first few episodes, and I had not been in the postpartum stage yet. I had a lot to say at the time before even entering the realm of postpartum. And
you had a lot to say.
I did have a lot to say. You know, I had a lot to say about a lot of things, and I can say that this whole experience has definitely humbled me. No, I don't want to go get a Mommy and Me makeover. I actually feel like I've been losing a lot of my baby weight, and I think it's from breastfeeding. So some of my goals is really to just stay motivated to eat. Like, it's really hard to like balance sometimes, and I didn't realize that like this was really a thing.
I mean, your body requires more nutrients now because you're a milk-making machine. So it's like, you gotta maintain the carb.
I eat a lot of things, and then there's some days like, oh shit, like the day didn't went by and I only ate once or twice. So my goal is to like have those extra 500 calories because I've already lost 25 pounds and it's been 7 weeks. So those are some of my like body goals. I do want to get back into doing like yoga and Pilates. Just for strengthening purposes. This bladder incontinence thing that women be suffering from. Mama gotta snap the coochie back a little bit.
It don't end. I peed on myself twice last week and I am not too proud to tell you that.
So yeah, like I'm determined to get my yoni egg popping, my Kegels popping. You know, I say that now, but like after my doctor's appointment the other day, I don't even want nothing up there. But I do need to get back into my yoni egg and really start strengthening and toning my pelvic floor because it is shot at this moment. I have
Should
some
we do a
mommy
challenge?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I have a rose quartz one. Oh, maybe it's a good time to do the
I have a rose
one
quartz
again.
One too.
I know, I got it from you. Is it a good time to do it? Should we do a challenge amongst ourselves, like the team challenge, like let's do certain stones, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah,
a real more
it. That's a rose quartz yoni egg challenge.
Yeah, but it's gonna be like, you know, very witchy, like, you know that, you know that witch circle on Instagram.
So let's do it on the new moon.
Blah 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 blah.
Let's do it during the new moon.
Okay.
Let's do a yoni steam first, and we're gonna do our egg. And
I'm actually in a season of my life where I'm scared to do a steam.
Why are you scared to do a steam? Girl, I'm steaming and I ain't even trying to get none. I'm running from the D.
You're gonna get re-pregnant. It's gonna happen for you.
Nah,
just get it over with. Because while he's young, you might as well just make a sibling.
Seven's not liking that.
the sound of that. He likes to be a right. Hold on.
I mean, like, just get it over with. Like, if he's already here, you know.
Featuring Seven. All
right. You're doing so well.
Thank you.
Just add another one and just be, you know.
Maybe when he's like three or something, like, because I be reading these two under two blogs with these women that have two kids under two, and they be ready to kill themselves, and I feel so bad for them.
That's because they're not equipped, and they're not.
You know what's cool? I realized I read a lot of these blogs, and I'm so grateful that a lot of these parents, fathers, are not hands on with their newborns, yeah. And a lot of these moms complain about like feeling like they do everything themselves and not feeling like there's any compassion within the household
or support,
you know. And it's like, you could have had a beautiful relationship with somebody for years, but you just never know how they're going to be when it comes down to parenthood.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the answers was like, oh, I would leave him, or he sounds like a shitty dad, and this and that. And it's like, damn, like, I would never have thought that this person would be like this when we decided to have kids. Like, or it could be the total opposite, where it's like, you could be a shitty, you know, partner to somebody, and then you have a baby and you're an amazing dad.
Let me tell you, I was telling you this personally, but you know, somebody personal in my life, like, he was always a really horrible boyfriend. Like, he was cheating on all of his girlfriends, and then when his first child's mother got pregnant, he just became this dad. Like, at some point, like, he wasn't even working. Like, he was just hustling out the house just to be there, like, with the kids while she was mm-hmm. pursuing her career with the government, and he was with them all the time. Like, I feel like, no lie, when they broke up is when he got back in the legal workforce, because he was like, I will do anything on the side just to be there for these kids. And then yeah. Now that he's legally in the workforce, you know, things are turning in a different direction for him. Like, not only did he gain this newfound independence, but he's like, it just restored a level of dignity that I've really never seen him, and he's shining in a different way. And I just mm-hmm. admire him for just like championing through those hurdles. And he is so, like, so, like, about his children. And he's really, by any means necessary, kind of dad. And that's why I say, like, men who don't provide safety or provide, like, the necessary things for the home, that nigga don't love you. You know what I'm saying? Because right. a nigga who loves you is going to show up for you and show right. up with the things you need. One or the other, or all the things. Like, you know, God bless the man that can do it all. That's a lot on a black man's shoulder. Right. But like, the men who show up, I respect them, because it's so easy to walk away.
For real. And I'm so blessed to have a partner who, you know, is very much hands-on as being a dad. He loves fatherhood, but he also is very hands-on as a partner as well. You know,
that's how you got pregnant.
Yes. Yes, that's how.
Hands-on. Yes.
Hands off now.
But no, shit. It's just that's supposed to speak to, like, when you, like, you reach a level of maturity when you face your responsibilities head on. Like, I don't think when you and your partner got together, you're like, we're gonna be these type of parents. It was like, when the responsibility arrived, you guys showed up. And that's the whole point of the episode. Maturity, you know, being where you're at. See, and then, like, countering that with people around you who are on that same lane and path. Like, you know, you may meet different people from different walks of life, but y'all connect because y'all have the intention of growth, or the intention of, like, holisticness. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, and that it takes maturity. It takes maturity to pick the right partner. You know, it takes wisdom to curate a ecosystem like yours, you know? And, you know, if we all tapped into our individuality and our individual purpose and why we're here, we would stay more interconnected with like-minded people, spiritually speaking.
Spiritually speaking. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree. But I think those are just some of my mommy and me goals.
Mommy and me goals.
Got some business goals. Got some new business goals. Got some new... Yes. New things brewing, you know, behind the scenes in the BU Beauty factory.
Yeah, the BU Beauty is growing. We're scaling, and we have new goals.
Shout out
and
to our newest team member, Indigo.
Yeah, we're super, super grateful for her. She's been excellent so far.
She's not if really I, new, but she's old, but she's new.
New to y'all, old to us.
That's right, exactly.
I think it's real cute how we met the way we met, and the premise we met. Because if I wasn't who I am, we would not have been cool. I promise you.
Nope.
If I was Starship, I was like in my little cut, we would not have like had that like a whole thing, because that was a whole thing in itself. Like we all met that day. That's so crazy.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy. And now we're all on the same team.
Talk about
see how
chat.
Things just work when it just when it's supposed to, like,
yeah,
and you just never see things coming because who knew?
That takes wisdom and maturity. Like we keep saying the same thing. It's like it's gonna keep hitting the bump because it's like it's wisdom and maturity to appreciate the fullness of time. You know, if she wasn't where she was, she wouldn't be available to be on the team. You know, and if I wasn't right. where I was, I wouldn't have grown enough to, you know what I'm saying? It all interconnects. Right. Like, but we were supposed to meet then to have that foundation to make sure that we had the right chemistry so that when we revisited to a higher version of ourselves, it's like a callback. Like, girl, remember? Oh my
it's
God.
It's crazy how things come around full circle. Like,
yeah.
The full circle moment.
But also with all the changes and all the exciting things going on, I oddly feel so prepared. I feel so ready. You know, I have new personal romantic goals. I have new personal business goals. I have new personal mom goals. You know,
yeah,
I have a fresh new set of goals for myself, you know, and that's come because I finally arrived at my age.
Okay. Right. Right.
My
at your
age,
big age
and my, yeah at my big age my age and my responsibilities and the wisdom I've accrued are all converging into this great, like, you know, ascension, to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I speak highly of ascension, but there's turbulence when you're ascending. You know, you're gonna have
absolutely.
To find those air pockets and those grooves, but after you break a certain stratosphere, you're soaring, you know.
You get ascension symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, literally cold symptoms. You literally start feeling sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, headaches.
Your body has to adjust.
Stuff.
Yeah, your body has to adjust to the new atmosphere.
Your body has to adjust to the blessing.
Ooh, that was good. That's good.
Mm.
That's good.
So I was listening to Reverend Ike today.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Ike, I don't know if you know about him. I love him, though. He reminds me of like a... You know, I'm very much into mindfulness. So I was like
mm-hmm.
very much into Bob Proctor for a long time. I love mm-hmm. Bob Proctor still. I was really upset when he passed away. But he's like a black Bob Proctor. So he talks more about like the power of your subconscious mind and stuff. But he's like,
I think I'm going to Google
he's
him.
He's a reverend. He's a reverend, but a lot of people don't like him because he talks a lot about money.
His pastor but Ike or met Reverend Ike?
Reverend Ike. And he really puts you on to like, you know, he quotes a lot of the Bible and shows you how the Bible really talks about the power of your mind. So
I watched some of his stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, so I listened to him a lot, and I was listening to him today, and he was saying how like basically like when you're blessed, you know, like you're sharing your blessings with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's like, when I'm rolling in my Rolls Royce, I know God is in my passenger seat, and I like, you know, and you know, I'm blessing God by the means of me, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that today, like, and he was just saying how, you know, we're always complaining about, oh, I can't pay my bills, or you're only as, and I look like shit right now because I'm literally sitting here breastfeeding. He was like, you're only as powerful or as prosperous as your hair looks, or you're only as powerful as prosperous as the clothes that you have on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're only as powerful as prosperous as your state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting here talking about I can't pay my bills, or I can't, you're only as prosperous as your I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a challenge of this month where we look in the lens of we're only as prosperous as the words that are coming out of our mouths.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This 10 of Cups month, this 10, this October, this new month,
mm-hmm.
is a month of no complaining.
Okay.
Only speaking what we want.
Okay.
So that we can get what we want.
Okay. I'm going to echo that. I think we were talking the other day and I was like, about the doctor who said, show me my wife if I show you my wife, I'll show you how well I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of, I think that's what you're saying as far as what Reverend Ike was reiterating, is that if we don't walk out the fullness of, you know, the material, how else could we give reverence to our source? And I was saying it the other day in a personal conversation with you.
Spiritually speaking,
like, how can I consult people in their business if my business is in a state of life support, or if it's in a state of debilitation, or it's one sale away from being debilitated? Like, my clients have to see me drive my dream car. You know, my clients have to see me and my daughter, you know, having a summer vacation in Paris. They have to see me walk out the fullness of my blessings.
I don't want to say it was a gift and a curse. I think it's like a two-way kind of sword type of thing, because some people that are very wealthy in life, they don't show it with their material items. You know what I mean? You can see the richest person walking with holes in their sneakers and driving a beat up car, but they have a lot of assets. They're very lucrative. However, we come from I think now in this day and age, especially, or in our generation, it's like, people are very vain. So it's like, I want to know how many followers you have. I want to know how much likes you got. I want to see what kind of car you drive.
The aesthetics.
Your aesthetics. You know what I mean? This is what's going to make me buy into you. As opposed to what I actually, my offer is being the quality. You're worried about my appearance and the person behind the offer, as opposed to what the offer actually is. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling you my dream car or, you know, my lifestyle, but people are very into lifestyle, you know? And social media, it can be a huge facade, but they always get captured in what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because you could have a dream car and be 3 months behind on your car note.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you're still driving your dream car.
You can be in the relationship of your dreams and be dying in the house.
Exactly. So it's just like, you know, also, do you understand what it took for me to get here?
And I think that's the pivot for me. I'm going to brand the journey. And I'm going to brand myself as a brand architect. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did I become a brand? I came a brand by, and not the tangible steps, but, you know, a practical visualization of, like, I started from some nothing. Well, not, I started from meager beginnings, and I have exponentially multiplied my income by way of naturally, organically being myself authentically. I think that's the model, right? And me sharing where I'm at, like, me being authentic about, you know, the walls are going to change. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to see the background be a little bit more open in a little while. And that's what I mean about the frequency of abundance. It's like, some people need tangible evidence that it's possible, you know.
Right.
I don't think I'm ever going to buy a bust down car. I think that's very ratchet. I would love timeless pieces, oyster face my body. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I like nice things. I think I'm always going to like nice things. It's in my chart. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know my sign. Like, I'm always gonna like opulence. Like, I plate my food.
I mean,
like
you're ruled
like
by Libra. You're ruled by Venus.
Right. My Venus is very much in Taurus. So, like, I love the opulence, but it's also the diligence, the focus, the follow through, the relentlessness. Those things are all they're all a part of the brand. Because that I am the brand. And that's what I mean when I have new business goals, is like, I have to pivot from being the boss's bestie and, you know, being everybody in Memphis Bleek to just being my own personal entity and just walking in that. And I'm choosing to do that authentically. I'm not going to venture too far out to strange things, but I'm going to challenge myself in how I've done things before. And it's just about maturing.
We got to do a little... You got to do some things different to get some different results. So
yeah, you have to do what you never did to get what you never had. And that doesn't mean,
it doesn't mean an entire change though. Just a little pivot, you know, small steps are still steps. Yeah. And you can still see, you know, change.
Yeah. In staying organic, in staying authentic to who I am. Like, I don't want to ever do something that's so outside of who I am. Like I said, it's going to have to be like, you know, natural, or, you know, so here we are doing the things. And I'm excited for the next, and this is a strong way to enter Q4, you know, a very strong way to enter the fourth quarter.
So in our fourth quarter changes, we are officially revamping some things in our yoni care genre. We'll be doing, since I've embarked on motherhood, I need to have, and I'm in two brick and mortar locations, one here in LA, one in New Jersey, handling online orders and vending opportunities. I need to have a handle on inventory. So we will still be doing new or full moon restocks. We're not doing both. We don't know which ones we'll be honoring. We're going with the flow. So we'll be doing a limited quantity of soaps during those new or full moon restock. For $15. It's the regular price, $15.15. While supplies last, once they're sold out, they're sold out. You have to wait till the next restock. However, in the meantime, in between time, they can subscribe to our monthly Yoni Bar subscription for $13 a month. And you can guarantee your soap every month and never miss out on your Yoni goodness. So we will be rolling that out this month. We're officially about maybe like 12 days from our next restock. We're currently
The
sold
new
out.
Moon is on the 14th.
Yeah, we're currently sold out right now. But you can get, like, you know, your Pussy Power Pack, which has a soap and oil in it. You can still get your Yoni Portal Magic Pack. You just can't get a single soap until the restock. And then next month we have a great launch for you guys. Something that I don't think we're gonna say it. But it's something that you guys have been asking for a while, and
I can't wait.
I'm excited to finally be able to do this because it's been a while.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes. Just stay tuned for that. Be on the lookout for a new exclusive launch of a product of some sort.
I say this with love, and I say this in almost every single relationship I have existing right now. Please sign up to our email list. Okay? Please sign up to our email list. This is not a gimmick. It's not a sponsored ad. It's just like, if you want to communicate with us, these people, you know, a team who is creating a really, really beautiful holistic experience. You know, we're educating you spiritually. We're keeping you grounding. We're running you modalities. We're giving you these handcrafted, small batch made products. You know, with these hand curated like herbs. Like we are so intentional that stay connected to us so that you can know. Like, you don't have to hit us up asking us redundant questions if you are in the portal. Like, if you are in the
Sit with us. We're literally pulling out a chair for you to have a seat. Like, come sit with us. Join the tribe.
Sit with us.
You won't be sorry.
Okay, and if you don't want to do email lists, you don't refresh your email, like me and Bianca refresh our email, we have a Facebook group, you know.
Join us
on Instagram. We're going live a couple times a week now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are an engageable group. You know, you can contact us, you know, through our emails. You know, like, we are here for you. Bianca has consultations on the websites for all those internal questions you don't really want to ask in a big platform. You can book her for 30 minutes, and you can just ask her all the questions that she can curate you a whole coochie regimen. Like, you are not alone. You are not without a resource if you are connected with us. We are here to support you in your journey. And this is a holistic journey. It's not just about, you know, keeping your vagina tight and wet. This is about connecting to your source as a woman and, you know, like, really connecting yourself to your divine feminine. We are here to support you in that journey. And we have something for stuff for the men too. Like,
I really just want all of us women to take autonomy over our bodies. It's too many of us just following the crowd because it's something that we were exposed to or taught at a young age, but we don't really know why. You know what I mean? It's just like, I use this product because I grew up in the house and this product's been in the house here forever. I don't know exactly why I use the product, but I just know I use it because my parents used it. Now it's time for you to use products that you know why you use them and they're actually good for the feminine body. Something that's going to balance your pH, something that can keep you confident and alignment at all times, and something that you can pass down to your children. As far
yeah,
as
because I know, as for me in my house, we will not be using Razak.
And because I know in me and my house, we serve BU Beauty.
Okay, listen here. The shampoo bar goes crazy on this 4C. I'm not, like, as for me in my house, there will be no pink lotion. It's like,
pink lotion days. Yo, my aunt used to love her some pink lotion.
And we don't know why.
No, it's so watery. And oily. It's just a
it
bunch
come
of oil.
It come in a lotion pump. We're not knocking the older brands. We're just saying we don't know what we don't know. And Luster's had us all in a headlock.
Yes, but once you know some shit, you can't unknow. So once you know about good ass products for your vagina, like you can't unknow. There's just you're doing yourself a disservice. That's self sabotage
at its highest.
Like, I don't know.
Ignoring your body's intrinsic needs, it's so harmful because you're going to rely on the information from somewhere else.
But that's the thing. It's how do you tell or show people that it's something that's very imperative, because they'll be having these 30-inch bust downs and these fucking butterfly lashes on and their nails and all this shit. They spend all their money on all that, but they don't have $15 for a soap. But they'll go to the 99-cent store and buy their pads. Like, so it's just, but you spend $400 on your weave.
I think that what I'm trying to say, what I'm doing personally in my brand, but what we're pivoting toward is to really step into the light of how enjoyable the holistic yoni lifestyle truly is. And that's what we are trying to encapsulate and put and convey to our
if
viewership
you guys
and
are really on a great, on a good, if you were really using good products in your vagina, you wouldn't be hitting me up asking me about boric acid. Like, I just got a text message yesterday about boric acid. I just...
Can I...
And that's the thing,
ooh,
following the trends. Following the trends.
I'm trying
Did
to watch
know?
My mouth. I'm trying to watch my mouth. Okay, before we get into the affirmation, I just want to say this one thing. Don't act up. If you really had a yoni regimen, you wouldn't even be facing certain situations in your personal life. They wouldn't even be a thing because you know how to, you know where to check out from. You wouldn't even be indulging in escapism. You'll be indulging in understanding and oneness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you wouldn't even be outsourcing your pain or putting yourself in situations to feel value there. You'll be sitting down with yourself and getting connected with yourself because you are your own charge pad.
It's a lifestyle. It's a meditation in itself. Like, it's very much
invest in your coochie.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, invest in your coochie like you invest in everything else.
Prioritize
your coochie like
you
invest in that sexy red song. Y'all be investing in these songs and y'all coochies is not even confident.
One of her lyrics, and actually it's not even a lyrics, it's an ad lib to a song. Not in my coochie. Like, that's an ad lib on a sexy red song. Yes, it's an ad lib. Okay?
What is going on? I'm so thankful that I have a little boy. What?
I don't know how to dance, but ka fuck. Throw this ass back, make a real nigga nut. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are the lyrics, right?
Joe know all the lyrics. I would know the lyrics too if I lived on the East Coast.
It's not even about living
songs
on the East Coast. It's like when it's drilled.
No,
because you pick it up, you're like, what the hell is she saying?
No,
what is she saying?
There is no sexy red out here. I didn't know about sexy red until I came to New Jersey. You don't hear about that shit out here. You don't hear none of that music out here. I don't know none of them songs until I came to Jersey this summer.
I think it's a demographic. And if we're investing in
the East Coast gets the music first is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're the smallest size big market.
Yeah,
in the entertainment industry.
I'm gonna hear that song next year.
Right. And I quote Sexy Red all to say, like, if we're investing in copulation or the gaze of the opposite sex, can we just take a second to focus on what we're sharing? and the quality of quality of where it comes from, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I just feel like nowadays it's like, who can make the nastiest song or something? Like, what?
And the men are loving it; they're the ones singing it. You see the football practices, and they're singing the song.
You know, Joe Budden's my pod daddy. He be quoting all the daddy songs. He is such a bird. Like, these things is birds. They love it. They really love it. But I was reading something that was saying that, like, Sexy Red and all these other, like, mainstream daddy
Sukihana
now are basically Sukihana and all them. They're like basically portraying or trying to change the narrative of what a black woman really is. Like,
but that's why they're commercialized, and that's why they're put on the forefront of the marketing platform. They're being championed by bigger music executives, by bigger labels,
puppets,
the agenda. Right, their industry plan.
It's puppetry.
Their industry plan.
And that's when it comes down to selling your soul. It don't have to, it can be the littlest thing. Like, so it's
if
just.
If they're the ones deciding how women look at themselves, maybe we should look internally about where that comes from. I cannot wait for people to have my book. I'm so excited for it. Like, I'm so excited for that awakening. And it's like, it's not even about a becoming, it's an embodying.
Do we have a date?
No, I am not giving a date on the pod today.
No, I'm not saying to give a date today, but I'm saying, do we have a date though?
Yeah.
Okay.
When if you know me, you know what I launch always, like, in my season. You know my season.
I was thinking, I said, yeah, if we have
a date. It's going to be
It's
done.
In the spring.
It's definitely before Mother's Day though. It's going to be like smack dab in the middle of my season, like, Aries out the way, like, is you're gonna see all the hooves, and I'm like, oh, it's in the middle of Taurus season, like, she's dropping it now. It's for my people. Then I'm winning back. I'm going to the depths of hell to win back the people that meandered there.
Dope. I'm excited for Spiritually Speaking to be launching spring 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all be on the lookout.
Yeah, future New York Times bestselling author.
Yeah, yes. Yes. And we will be dropping our Yoni Steaming book.
I'm so excited for the Yoni Steaming book. It's more, for me, it's not a book, it's a manual. I think book makes me want to journal more, you know, and I think that it's so important.
I'm still doing just a journal, because even yesterday I was talking to a client, they were texting me, and we're doing a little text consultation, and I was telling her, like, you know, because she usually orders a universal blend, but now I'm going to make her a sensitive steam blend just to see. And, like, I was like, you know, now you can basically see which one you like better. So basically, when you do your steam, you should journal, write down anything, so that when we talk next, see which steam you want to either stay here, or you want to go back, or whatever. And it just was a confirmation that, like, when I said she needs to journal, that we need to launch our journals. So
yeah, I'm excited for that. And I think the Yoni Steaming book and the journal go hand in hand, because, like I said about walking it out, sometimes people need the tangible, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the ingredients, but they need tools. Like, it's like, if you go to school, you need school supplies, you need pens, notebooks, paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, why would we give you a regimen without giving you the tools and the steps? Like,
right. This manual is basically a guide that's going to answer all of your questions about yoni steaming, its origin, you know, how to set up your steam at home, how many times you should steam a month, how long your session should be, what kind of steam is right for you, how to dress when you're, you know, doing your steam, how to prepare your sacred space when doing a steam, how to steam for certain purposes, whether it's for infections, for fertility, hormonal imbalances. It has a little journal in the back of, you can log your steams sessions with, you know, some notes. What moon phase was it in? You know, how were you feeling? What day was it? What week in your cycle it was, you know. So it's I think it's about 40 pages. And yeah.
I'm excited. Dope. I'm excited. And I actually want to challenge you if we can record, like, an audio version of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, wow. So would that be audible?
Yeah. I want all the money for us. I want everything. We are cornering the market of our expertise. We're in the publishing phase of mastering our crafts. This is not a gimmick or a game or a joke. You are so passionate about what you do. You're trying to teach people how to do it and how to maintain that as a lifestyle. I want everything for you. And I'm going to work like it.
I have Joe on your team. Your team is not a team. I'm very grateful for you.
They can't afford me, but it's cool. It's cool. Y'all can hear it. That's cool.
Everybody can't afford you, but we can.
I'm very, very blessed to be here. Yes. So before we wrap up, give us a mantra. I have a mantra, but if you have any affirmations, a mantra for the people. And mantras are not always I have or I am, you know, it's I see, I attract, you know, it comes from different zones or chakras. So like, we're not always going to give you an I am mantra. That's not even what we're doing here.
My affirmation for the day or for the session. My affirmation for this session. I use my wisdom and I apply it daily.
I use my wisdom and I apply it daily. That's good. I have one too. I see myself as my creator sees me.
I like that.
That's good.
And then it also boils down to, like, you also are your creator at the same time. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're manifestors. So it's like, what God sees in me, I see in me.
I mean, we're made in his image and likeness. So if he's the great creator, so are we.
So we, exactly.
That was good.
Exactly.
I'm happy with this episode. I hope you guys love it as much as we enjoyed making it.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy full moon, y'all.
Yes.
Happy
October. BeYouBeauty.com.
BeYouBeauty.com. Stay on the lookout for our exclusive launch next month for my birthday. Oh my God, my birthday's next month. This is crazy.